Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. All right, who's got paper today? Who's got paper? Yeah. It's more than just for fire. All right, who's got an electronic Bible? Hold it up. Hold it up. Come on. Electronic Bible. Let's see it. See, it's so slow. You guys have see, you, paper. You can just, you're right there. All right. All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bible says, reading from verse 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and workers of miracles. Also, those having gifts of healing. Those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Lord, we come and we talk about your equipping us for life, Lord. Your supernatural transformation in each one of us. And for some, Lord, that's a challenge. It's kind of a scary thing. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you, that you are good and mighty and awesome. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, this week, Miss Wendy, where is Miss Wendy? Had a problem with her car. Oh, did you hear that? With a problem with her car. And everyone, she needed brakes. And her brakes had been kind of chirping at her for about a month, saying, give me attention, give me attention. And she ignored that little message. And so this week, the car began screaming and screeching, give me attention. And then it's nice that her brother, Nacho, and Yuseli's husband, Juan Carlos, were able to indeed take out those old, worn-out brake pads and put in a brand-new set of brake pads, and now that car is working fine. Amen? And see, that's the thing. When the parts are working, the car is working. And as we take a look at that today, we will realize that when the parts of the church are working, the church is working as well. Amen? We are in this series called Finding Fullness in Christ, and that is our purpose in this church. And I've been going through this all last month. We're going to continue on that. And some of you might be thinking, I know the three areas in which we are going to find that fullness, and that is fullness in your relationship with God, fullness in your relationships with the people around you, and fullness in the expression of how God has created you. We're going to be focusing on that today. There are four principles that we use to help you move into your fullness with Christ. One, we depend on God. Took a look at that all last month. We're going to shift gears, take a look at developing people today. Displaying God's love is the third principle, and desiring the presence of God. It is our hope that as you come in here today, that you will indeed experience the presence of God, that he will touch your soul, touch your spirit, and you will be transformed. Now, we talk about we develop people, and realistically, it's not something that we do. It's something that when you come to know Christ as your Savior, he begins a supernatural transformation in you. We walk alongside you as that transformation happens. Today, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, we are going to be talking about that transformation, and we're going to be talking about supernatural, spiritual gifts. God gives you new life when you come to know Christ, and I hope you have that new life in Christ. And as you have that life, that new life, spiritual gifts come alongside, and that life And those gifts help you fit in the church. Amen? They are a way to plug in. And as you come around here, we're going to be talking about plugging in today. We want you plugged in, locked in, synced in, so that you will know that you are a dynamic part of the family of God, and He is indeed filling you up. Now, Jesus said He was going to build the church, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But that doesn't mean that hell's not trying, and that the devil will come along and try and get you off track. Now, as we take a look at this today, I want to let you know, Corinth was a church that was off track. And today we're going to be taking a look at spiritual gifts and how all this stuff fits in. Because indeed, title of this message, you were made to fit. Amen? Amen. All righty. Hey, George, where are you at? Or I'll tell you what. Marie, there's some spiritual gift tests back there. Bring me back one of each. One is in Spanish. One is in English. Or George, if you got them over there, just bring them from me from over there. I just want to be able to refer to them. Because we're going to take a look at the new you. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yes, that is it. English? Well, you can take those back there. And Spanish, just in case, just in case. We'll pass those out later, George. Thank you very much. All right, we're gonna take a look at the beginning of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and talking about the new you. It is a supernatural you. Now, about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I'll say brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. How many people roll in today going, I want to be ignorant? Not one hand. All right, that's good. Right along, God doesn't want you to be ignorant either. Hallelujah. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a whole lot of ignorance going on in Corinth. They had indeed coming out of paganism and idolatry, where they would literally... Mike Hinson and Wendy are the new champions. Okay. But I'm going to give him some props later. I'm writing a sermon right now. All right? Paganism, right? It's like, whoa, my papi, you know. And they are worshiping idols, things made out of wood. I know it's not you, Mike, but anyway. No, Mike and Wendy did indeed massacre a massive run by Dave and Erica, right? Who is your partner? Oh, it's Sylvie, yeah. Anyway, all right, back on track. This is where the Corinthians were. It was a wild and crazy place with a bunch of wild and crazy stuff. Paganism that they had, a lot of sexual immorality involved in the worship. Now, and what was happening was, is in the Corinthian church, they were trying to pull this into the church. Now, we don't got a lot of idolatry, although if you go to a Chinese restaurant or a Vietnamese restaurant, you'll see, you know, Buddhas and everything set up around, and they actually, you know, putting money and food and all, feed the Buddha and all this stuff. So there's some going on, but I don't know how many former Buddhists we got in the house. But there's a whole lot of craziness going on around us. Sexual immorality, drugs, debauchery, rampant stuff. And some of you are trying to drag a little bit of that into the church when you come. Can I get a witness on that? Uh-oh. Somebody touch a computer back there? Yeah. Help me, help me, help me. There we go. It ain't going to fit. It ain't going to fit. And when you try to drag your old life into the church, it doesn't fit either. Amen? God gives you spiritual gifts so that you can fit into this supernatural thing that we call the church, that Paul refers to as the body of Christ, and he is the head, and it is this supernatural thing. And as you begin to realize your place and your part in the plan and body of Christ, you clip in and fit in, and the devil ain't going to be able to lie to you and get you off track. Amen? All right. Let's continue going, because it ain't never. The devil will come along and say, you can work it out. They say, this can work for you, you know, and you end up like that dude. It's like, it's old stuff. You've outgrown that old life, and there's a new life. Amen? All right, let's keep on reading, because you're going to be in the part of the body of Christ. Verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men and women, I'll add in. Now, to each of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Many gifts, common purpose. It says here that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. And you say, wait a minute, what does that mean for me? Well, it means that you are given a spiritual gift. It'd be as if I gave Mike's trophy to Dana, right? You are given a spiritual gift, but your gift is for all of us. But as if your gift is for all of us. It's like your gift is for all of us. See, now Wendy, she serves the food to all of us. I thought I'd get a bigger amen on that. Yeah, because we got some good lunch coming up later. You're all invited to come. Now, I want to let you know that the spiritual gifts that we're talking about are more than talents. There's all kinds of musicians, artists, sports stars that are blessed with talent from God. Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above. Amen? We're looking at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. But we're talking about, the word here in Greek is charismata. And these spiritual gifts are given only, always and only to believers. The spiritual gifts are given always and only to believers so that they can be used in and through the church to glorify God. Amen? Talents, there are all kinds of people doing talents for themselves, and that was the problem that they were having in Corinth, is they were trying to take the spiritual gifts or a counterfeit by the devil and turn them and use them for their own benefit. But your gift is for our good. Make sense? These gifts are to be used only in and through the church. Cannot function. The church cannot function and cannot mature without the use of spiritual gifts. Said there are a variety of gifts to be used in a variety of ways, but they all have one source, and they all have one purpose. And they will also make you fit right here. Amen? Danny, don't go anywhere. I need you. Right here, Mr. Bugs. Your father. All right, I talked with Aaron last night. We were talking last week about spiritual gifts. We're talking about some opportunities coming away. Aaron, what is your spiritual gift?
My spiritual gift is overall serving. Serving serving God and serving you guys also as well.
Now, how?
Well,
because he uses this a lot. He talks a lot in his gift. Amen.
Yes, and I was given the gift to be able to teach grammar school, being able to be on the worship team, to be able to preach, being able to lead the men's breakfast. Might be missing something else, but he has given me many, many gifts
now,
to be able to do.
The reason I mentioned that, because he said his gift was to serve you, and he does serve you, but his main gift that he's moving into and flowing into is a gift of speaking and teaching, which is different than
Amen.
The serving gifts. We'll say Dana also teaches, and Wendy and Yuseli, where they serve a lot. There's a lot of people that serve.
Yeah, oh, working with the young adults.
Tommy's rolling the list.
Yes.
Now,
speaking and teaching.
We talked last week about an opportunity working, doing outreach, which he's also gifted because, man, he's. I saw him flowing in that gift last week, men's breakfast, talking with some young men. And he really flows in that gift, talking about doing outreach with the skateboard park. Had some scheduling issues with work. But then you told me, you said, man, I'm blessed in doing these classes and doing all that I do. But if I add something on, I'm going to have to let something go. And that's because you mentioned, we were talking last night, because you're imbalanced right now and all that you're doing. Explain that to everybody, if you would.
All that I mentioned that I am currently doing right now, I am feeling really blessed. Being able to handle that, God's given me that gift to be able to handle all those ministries. And then Pastor Bob come to me and ask me to have some concern in the skateboard ministry, and then I start feeling overwhelmed. I felt that, you know, all that I was doing and then added that, it just overwhelmed me. And then I couldn't find the time to do it. But at the same time, I was feeling blessed to do it. You know, I was feeling blessed to do it. How can I work this out? So God is he works on me at possibly making some room somehow, some way, as he did the other ministries. He will provide. He will make a way if you just stay tracking with him. Now, honestly, I don't know if I'll be doing that. I know if I do that, I probably would have to do something else or take something else off of my plate. So right now I'm currently in the process of praying on what you have prepared for me. What do you have for me? That's where I'm at right now.
Amen, so, amen. Yeah. Because the Lord gives you gifts, but he doesn't want to overload you. And so there's an element of wisdom in the use of those gifts. Yeah, I'll grab on this, but because the devil will come and he'll overload you. And he does that for people, especially in ministry, and he loads them down, and then they just crumble, and everything goes away. So I was blessed. We talked last. Go ahead.
And one more thing, too, and he talked about the talent. Just to let you know that I've been blessed because I have no schooling on some of the things. I haven't been trained to do those things. I think the Lord has given me the ability, given me those gifts to be able to do it.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? All righty. Let's continue on. All right. We're going to read. We're going to go through this list now, and I've broken it down a little bit. And we're going to go through the first part of the list of the gifts of the Spirit, starting at verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, and by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And so we got part one here, and we got three gifts we're taking a look at. And number one is the message of wisdom. And wisdom, Greek word Sophia. And so got some Sophia running around this church. Amen. And it says, backing up, it's a message of wisdom. It is a spoken gift. And that's what I mentioned when Aaron was talking about these gifts that he has in teaching and preaching, a spoken gift. This also is a verbal gift, the ability to understand God's will. Strongly tied to the next gift we're taking a look at, which is the gift of knowledge. It is the ability to make skillful application of God's truth to real life situations. Sometimes we need a little bit of help getting out of our own way. Amen? And it's nice to have somebody with the gift of wisdom around who says, hey, here you go. Second on that list is the message of knowledge. The perception and understanding of the truths of God, mainly focused on understanding His Word. This can be the result of a supernatural revelation, just bam, or result of hard study and hard work. Because, Aaron, sometimes you have to study and work, amen? Just show up and say, Lord, tell me what to do. It's like, study and show thyself approved. Anyway, that's another verse, another message. This gift of knowledge is foundational to all the teaching and preaching gifts. Last one on this first part is the gift of faith. And this is not saving faith, okay? Which is also a gift of the Spirit. If you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you do, it is the result of faith given you by the Holy Spirit to grab on and to reach through all the garbage in your life and reach on and grab onto Him. This is not that. This is the ability to believe God for incredibly out of the norm stuff. When you read, and guys write books about this stuff. You know, man, I was reading in the Bible, and God just said that He was going to do this, and I just believed Him for that. And people around me went, are you crazy? And it's this gift of the Spirit to just believe that God is going to do just this great and wonderful and mighty thing. And then it comes through. And it's an incredible gift. Second part of that list. To another, gifts of healing by that one spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits. We're going to hold on to number three there, that prophecy part, and deal with the other three right here. The gift of healing. The Lord gave the gift of healing to the disciples, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. It says the gift of healing, it's a plural gift because there's a whole lot of healing that needs to be going on. Amen? Now, in addition to the supernatural gift of healing, our God is a healing God. Amen? And so, James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This lady right here, we've been lifting her up. And when did you have your surgery? June 11th. So almost 3 months. And it didn't go smooth. But I'll tell you what, we kept on lifting her up in prayer, and she rolled in here this morning. I said, who brought you? And she said, I brought myself. Hallelujah. And so she had 2 rods and 5 screws put into her spine. And how are you feeling? Got pain, but I'm okay. Hey, sometimes there's a little pain that comes along with life. Amen? All right. Miraculous powers. This is, Jesus did this, walked on water, all right? Talking about withering the fig tree, multiplying the loaves and the fish. This is a suspension of natural laws, the governance of the way things work for a supernatural event. And Jesus did this, turned water to wine. The disciples never did this. We don't have any record of disciples doing this. We do have a record of Moses doing this with the 12 plagues in Egypt, with parting the Red Sea, with various other things that were done while they were in the wilderness. We see Elijah, prophet Elijah and Elisha, you know, causing people, causing the rain, not to rain, to rain, all kinds of stuff that they did, an axe head to float. And so we see this in Scripture, but it is quite unique. Last thing I'm going to talk about on this part of the list is discernment, is the ability here, I'll put it here, to distinguish between the spirits. And this is a special ability to recognize lying spirits and the deception of the enemy. All right? Now, we've gone through five of these. This is the sixth. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. So if you know Christ as your Savior, you got one or more of these. So as you're listening today, I want you thinking, not what are these, but which one do I got? It might make it a little bit more personal. Okay? You tracking with me? I got some tests. You can take one home and fill it out. I mean, it's a test that somebody wrote up. It's not from God, but it'll give you a feel. Now, this discernment, okay? Discernment is the ability to spot the deception of the devil. And it's a gift because the devil's not dumb. Can I get a witness on that? Devil going to lie to you. He's going to wrap a whole lot of truth around what he's given you. Kind of like kale. My wife says, I got this new salad. I say, you got kale in it? Because if it's got kale, I don't want it. And she'll say things like, not very much. I'm discerning where it comes to kale, because I can always taste it. And so, people with the gift of discernment can spot the lies of the devil. Now, I got a lot of time in this book, and so I got some of that. I like having people around that have the gift of discernment, because I can spot the lie, but sometimes I believe better about people than I should. And so I'll be walking in, I'll be thinking, oh, yeah, God's going to do this great, incredible work, and it's going to be so good. And somebody will come alongside and say, no, that ain't happening here, Pastor. You got to see what this person's doing out there on the street. And you got that right, yeah. So I like having those people around. And I bring this up. I got these tools up here. We got these gifts up here. These tools we used, hallelujah, for the hot dog cart. I'm looking for a new name. It's no longer going to be the hot dog cart. It has moved from my house, where it has been for at least a year, and it is now parked in its permanent residence down about right there. I might even crack it out later. It's ready to go. But I'm thinking the bread cart. In a little verse says, you know, I'm the bread of life. But I'm looking for input on that, because probably all them kids at the skate park going, the bread cart, what are you? Anyway. But we did a lot of work on it. And we used these tools. And one tool wasn't going to be good enough to finish that whole project. And so, you know, we had skill saw, you know, and kind of be working. Wow, yeah, you know, and we used a grinder. Grinder, need a grinder, you know, and gotta have the power. Yeah. And then drill. Oh, yeah, drill. I kind of got a little buffing thing on here we're using to use it. But all these tools, one purpose. Get that thing out of my house, over here, and we can fill that up with food. Dana and Wendy work on it, filling up with food, and take it over to the hot dog cart and spread the message. Amen? See, all these come together so that we can use that. Your gifts come together for a common source and a common purpose. Also, make you fit right here. Amen? All right. Last of the list. Part three is all about the message. To another, rewind it just a little bit, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And we talk about the point of all this. We wrap up our focus on this on the gifts today. And we start off with prophecy. And prophecy per se doesn't necessarily have much to do with telling the future. Prophesy. Tell me what's going to happen. A lot of the prophecy that is in the Bible, the majority of the prophecy that is in the Bible, has already been accomplished. It has, and at the time it was spoken, it was a description of what God is doing, not so much what God is going to do. And so, as we talk about the gift of prophecy today, it is a forthtelling of God's plan, His work, and His purpose in your life. And it is an anointing that people like Aaron and others would have to actually proclaim God's message effectively. Now, speaking in tongues, it is this gift is a lot of confusion. This is a huge problem in Corinth. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural gift when you speak in a language that you don't know. Now, it's got two fashions, I will say. One is you could speak in a language that you don't know, but somebody else does. Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, birth of the church, this happened to the apostles. They began speaking in these languages that they didn't understand, but there were other Jews from all over the world that were there, and they said, man, how are these guys speaking Parthian or African or, you know, Swahili, whatever languages that they were listening to? They recognized those languages. The other fashion is sometimes the language that you would speak in is what Paul calls in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, the language of angels, or perhaps even the language of heaven. And there's not going to be, well, I guess there could be an angel walking around saying, hey, I know what he's saying. But mostly it's going to require the gift of interpretation to understand it. We're going to talk about that just in a second. This was a problem in Corinth. And you can read most of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, and it talks about this. In fact, I think I got it. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Okay? And so, if you don't know Christ this morning, and you come in here, and all of a sudden, Antos belts out an utterance, is what it's called, an utterance in some language you ain't never heard before. Whoa, what was that? It's a sign for unbelievers. Now, the problem in Corinth is that they're all getting around, and they had this paganism stuff, this idolatry stuff, and it was big in the paganism, bringing it, and they're having these wild and crazy church services. And Paul says, what are you guys doing? The gifts are to glorify God and to build the church, and you guys are just coming off as wackos. I don't know if he uses wacko. Could be a Hebrew term. I don't know. But he says, Prophecy is given for believers. Why? Because God wants to send a message to you on what is going on. Okay? Now, the gift of interpretation is an interpretation of an utterance in tongues. So, if Antos goes off in this language, and it's usually maybe, I don't know, normally when I hear utterance in tongues, it's less than 30 seconds. It would be rare for it to be longer than that. But and everybody's going, whoa, gift of tongues. And then right on the heels of her utterance, Tommy Banks says, thus saith the Lord. I am pleased, another 30, 40 second interpretation of what she just said. And the unbelievers are going, I've never seen this before. Unless you've been to some wacky church, like the Corinthian church. They do it all the time. Because a lot of people just say, you know what, I'm just done with this stuff. And you know who wins in that? The devil. Because what happens is you turn off your spiritual gift, the ability for you to serve the rest of us, and your spiritual gift makes you fit right here. Like Aaron said, man, I never had any training. You never had any training playing the congas. You never had any training speaking or any of that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, you walk him up, you look at him up there playing them congas, you see that man fits. And you hear him preach, that man fits. And you know what? He knows he fits. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know you fit so that you can have an impact, and the devil would take that away and say, you can go anywhere you want. And what happens is we're all ripped off. So check it out. So she brings an utterance in tongues. Tommy brings an interpretation. Tongues with an interpretation equals prophecy. And you take a look at what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. And he says, prophecy is not for unbelievers, for believers. And so when you have tongues and interpretation, you got the best of both. And the church is built, and the Holy Spirit is glorified. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you. Are you with me? How many of you have been to a church service where spiritual gifts have been in evidence and you have been less than comfortable? It's going, this is crazy. Okay, put your hand up high. Because if you read chapter 14, there's all kinds of limitations that Paul says, hey, look. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Right? Test everything. Hold on to the good. Don't treat prophecy with contempt. Okay? But anyway, we'll talk about... I remember being new in the Lord. I ran out of service before thinking, this place is nutso. The week I left to go to Bible college, I went to a healing prophecy service. And my buddy's going, hey, you're going to be blessed. Bless me. I'm all for what God has. The preacher pushed me down under the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, okay. And he was a little dude. I was bigger than him. And he threw his shoulder into my chest. Like, hey, you're supposed to fall down at this moment. And I went, oh. I'll tell you what, so I don't embarrass you. I'll take a knee. And you know what? I'm sorry, this is not in my notes. There's a lot of harm that has been done to the church by improper use of these gifts. And by the seed of the devil. People would come up to this guy, and he would put his hand on their forehead, and they would fall down. Okay? Can I get a minute? Now, how many of you ever heard of Benny Hinn? All right. I'm not a big Benny Hinn fan, all right? God can do whatever he wants to, whoever he wants to do it. Now, I had a roommate in Bible college, and he told me, he goes, I'm not a Hinster, which means Benny Hinn fan. I'm not a Hinster. He goes, but I went to a Benny Hinn a meeting, and I went and I sat, and he said, the whole service, he preached, and he preached good, you know, wasn't even on healing. And he said, if you feel like you've been healed today, I want you to come up. I want to hear what. And he said, you know, I really felt touched by the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't healed or anything like that. And so he went up to the front. And he said that he's in a line. And Benny Hinn took his coat. And he went like this. He said, I got no clue, man. I was on my back. He said, I got up. And I got up on stage. He did it again. Bam, I was on my back again. I got no clue what it was, but I'll tell you, it was real. So I don't try to, understand God or put him in a box, okay? And my buddy was not a Hinster. He wasn't even my buddy, he was my roommate. He wasn't even my roommate that long, but we had this conversation on that. The guy pushed me down. Right, and it was just a little while after that we were talking about Benny Hinn, and so I was very resistant to this stuff, and so I take the knee, and people are getting knocked down, everybody's getting knocked down, but me, and they would get back up, and then they would go get in line to do it again. Until finally they had to make an announcement. If you've already come to the platform, don't go get in line again. Because it was a ride. And that was what was going on, or something akin to that, in Corinth. Okay? So Paul says, hey guys, that's not what we're about here. These spiritual gifts, or counterfeit gifts from the devil, are not supposed to be used in the house of God, and they're not for you. They are for the glorification of our Father in heaven, and it is for you to be able to impact the church. Okay? Are you tracking with me? Everybody say yes. Yes. All right, we're going to get back. Now I'm back onto my notes. That was all for free. No extra charge. All righty. Was that okay? I mean, it was like a Holy Spirit thing right there. I just needed to do that. All right. Got to get back on track. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. We're talking about all the gifts we just talked about. I want to say there was 9. I might have counted wrong. He gives them to each one just as he determines. Good with that, right? The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Last thing I got for you this morning is that it's the Holy Spirit that works it out. All this stuff. We got a list of all of these gifts, right? And I mentioned them. These even aren't even all of them. All right, so you got 1 Corinthians 12, upper right, which is a long list. You also got a list in Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And so there's all these gifts and the Holy Spirit at work in us, and he's been emphasizing this common source and the common purpose, okay? And that the Lord is going to build the church and glorify God through these gifts. Now, the last thing I want to show you today, that it is the Holy Spirit that works this out. The Greek word there for working is energema, where we get the word energize. And so the Holy Spirit, talk about Aaron because he came up here, gives Aaron spirit of teaching gifts, But not only does he give him the ability to speak, and or Pastor Scott, who did communion, and or Tommy, who came up and opened our service, but he also energizes those gifts, which means they don't work. He can have that gift, but until the Holy Spirit comes, it lights it up, right? Which means what? That he's close. He's close to me, and he's close to Aaron. See, the grinder is great, but not without a battery. See, you can have this grinder all day. It's like, hey, working on the railroad. No, you've got to have the battery, right? It is the Holy Spirit that gives you the gift and energizes that gift every time. Otherwise, you're not really getting anything done for the Lord. You're just using that old gift on your own power. Amen? That's good, isn't it? At least you can come up. That's what I got for you. Fullness of life in Christ. You are made supernaturally to fit. Many of you, when Aaron is speaking up here, you're going, okay, I got that. I understand that. And you are rolling. And some of you might, he said, I called him last night because I wanted to talk about this overloading thing. And he made it clear. I'm not overloaded right now. No, you don't have to take anything off now. I'm good. I'm liking where I'm at. But, because we were talking about I'm going to the skateboard park 5 days a week. Right? He goes, if I'm able to, and it would take a work of God, because he would need his schedule at the school district modified to be able to go out to that skateboard park every day. That's a work of God. Can I get a witness on that? And if he does, we'll know. And if he doesn't, the Lord's got something else in mind. And so some of you are going, yes, when I did this, you went, oh, yeah, I understand that. I get it. And you're going, it's good. Yeah, okay. The Holy Spirit is close. And I get that ongoing work, and it's a good thing. And celebrate that and realize that your gift is not for you. Her gift is not for her, although she enjoys doing it. But there's more enjoyment from all of you as she sings than she gets from just singing. Amen? Some of you are going, man, I've been to that whacked out church that you were talking about. And I'd rather just not mess with it. I'm fine. I'm good enough. I can get there on my own. I don't need all that Holy Spirit stuff. You can. But then what happens is you don't fit. What happens is you're saying, God, I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want to be moved beyond what I'm familiar with. So, Lord, I'm good. And you know what the Lord says? Okay. There you go. Do your best. He's not going to force this on you. But, and you know what? I was like that. This is before I left the Bible college. I'm like, oh, this is after I ran out of church service. This is wacko. I don't need any of this, Lord. And then I realized, wait a minute. If this is from you, God, oh, I want everything you got, God. Amen. I want everything that you, and you know what, Lord? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. and the devil might lie to me. I'm gonna trust that you're either going to let me know or you're going to send somebody my way. It's going to let me know because I'm going to grab on to, Lord, everything I think is you, and I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to move into it, and I'm going to seek your fullness. And what happened is then I began to open my heart and my soul to the spiritual gifts, the spiritual, supernatural nature of God, and I began to fit and get locked into his purpose for my life and the people around me that were also serving him. Amen? Don't buy the lie of the devil. There's too much of it going on. Too many unpowered people filling up the church going, this is good enough. It ain't good enough. We're getting ripped off. Can I get a witness on that? You're all getting ripped off. So don't let the devil rip you off, and don't you rip us off. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, I thank you for Aaron. I thank you for Scott and Tommy, Lisa, Lord. So many that are here, Lord, that are just moving in your gifts, that have an understanding, Lord, of who they are in you and that you do a great work in them and through them, Lord, that they, through that effort, and so many more here. I just grabbed those four because I had used them earlier. So many. This room is filled with people that glorify God in their work and in their effort. And I celebrate you, and it is a great honor to be able to work alongside you. But some of you have bought the lie of the devil. And for whatever reason, you have said, nah, I don't think so. God is worthy to be praised, and you can trust him. He hung on a cross for you. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask him for a fish, he is not going to give you a serpent. And as the Lord is speaking in Luke, he says, if you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he'll answer you. This morning, Lord, I pray for that person that came in here and doesn't fit, who has said no to you, no to your spirit, no to your gifts because of ignorance, like that church in Corinth, for whatever reason, the deception of the devil. But you're here this morning, and the Lord is speaking right to you, and says, don't buy that lie anymore. Your life is not about you. Your life is about me and bringing glory to me. I will transform you supernaturally to fit in with my body of believers that you can make an impact and you can be transformed in your life, but you got to trust me. You got to trust that my sacrifice on the cross will set you free from your old life, from your life of sin, and will deliver you into eternal life with me, and you have to trust that my Holy Spirit is going to build you up and make you fit. You're here this morning and you're saying, oh, that's what I want. I don't want to be the way I am anymore with nobody looking around. God is speaking right to you this morning. He says, new life for you. Do you trust me enough? This morning, you want to say, Lord, I get it. I understand. I'm going to trust you with all that I am. Nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I trust you this morning. Right here. Somebody else would say right there. Somebody else right here. Somebody else would say, that's me. Right back there. Right back there. Slide your hand down when I see you. That's okay. I see you over there, ma'am. Slide your hand down. It's on a Wednesday night.